And yes, hello and welcome back to the Talking Para podcast. And that was a great countdown, Hayden. Thank you very much for that one. And we are into it. We've got our full house again tonight. Well, Hayden, you heard him in the countdown there from the Entertain House. How are you going, Hayden?
Doing well tonight. Doing all right tonight.
Okay, that's good. We've got Maddie from Tate Sports Cards. How are you going, Maddie?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's good. We've got Joel from League of Inches. How are you going, Joel?
Shit.
Well, you're over it apparently, so no worries. We'll get back to you later on in the show. And look, I think this is going to be a bit of a fiery, ranting, negative podcast. But look, Adam, over to you, mate. I believe you have some really positive news. So let's get that positive vibe going. How are you going, Adam, and what have you got for us?
Yeah, but how am I first? Can you ask me how I am first?
Well, how are you? How are you going?
Good. Sorry, I just had to copy everyone else. Everyone else just seemed like they're in a shitty mood.
Well, nobody's asked how I am.
Yeah, no one gives a fuck.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's start. Sorry, Troy, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine now, but...
Can we before we get this up, can we ask you one question, Troy?
What's that, mate?
Is it time for panic stations?
Nah.
It's not?
Nah. Oh, anyway, get to the positive...
That's right. I'm back in
control. Oh, look, you've been waiting 8 weeks.
I'm back in control.
We've been waiting. All right, let's get to the positives first of all, because there ain't many of them. First of all, obviously, we put a shout out last week, and we're obviously still looking. We've got lots of great ideas around it for some sponsorship. So BMA Trucking have come on board in regards to that. So it's obviously huge for us to have our first sponsor. Look, what we're going to be doing around that, we're going to be doing a bit of a competition every week. So I'm just trying to get a bit more details up, which I'm struggling to operate two things at once, you know, classic male problem. I'm sure the female listeners and the things will say that. But so like I said, BMA Trucking, Braden's come on board from that. So what we're doing with that is we're doing a correct point score every week. Okay. So obviously we try and guess the scores every week. We're usually absolutely terrible at it. We usually suck so bad at it. So what we're going to do is it'll start like everyone knows what a joker draw is and a joker draw jackpot, or it's a members draw, for example, in a club. So we'll start it at $50, all right? It'll be $50 to start with. And we have to guess the correct score of the game every week. That'll go up by $20 till it goes off, then it'll reset at $50. So obviously, BMA Trucking, thanks for coming on board. That post will go up tomorrow. That's part one. Part two, Matt, down the bottom here. Tate Sports Card has been out of business for a while Matt's been focusing on some other things, but back in the sports card business. So, look, what we're doing is we decided to make it the last game of the year just because it's what worked pretty well and gives everyone lots of a chance through there. But we've actually got two box tickets to give away in a competition. So it'll be a simple competition. They're in the Legends Lounge, so not technically a box, but all your food and alcohol provided. For the last game of the year, I'm going to get the date first of all because I haven't got that organised. So Saturday, 31st of August, it's a 3 o'clock game on a Saturday. What a wonderful time to be alive. So you've got a chance of winning that. So that will go up tomorrow as well. It's a simple thing. You've just got to like everyone's pages. You've got to share the post and you've got to comment who you would take with you. Now, the more comments you put up, so if you put up 15 comments, that's 15 entries. That competition is going to run for about 2 months to about July. Then we're going to draw it. But there's more to it than that. Okay.
But wait, what we're going to do, there's more.
There's more. I know, there is more. What we're going to do as well, we're going to reward people. So there'll be super entries. So every week on this podcast, at the end of it, we're going to give away a super entry. So to be classified for a super entry, you obviously have to have liked the page, get involved in the comments, and share this live podcast. It's live podcast. So now share it on your personal wall. Share it wherever you want. I don't care who you share it with. Just don't send it by pigeon mail. It won't get anywhere. All right. And you could, at the end of it, you could win a super entry. Now, when we work it out, we've got about, 10 weeks? So in that 10 weeks of super entries, one of those people will be the extra person that comes along. So essentially giving away three tickets. All right, so I hope that makes sense, everyone. So get involved in that. So, look, the first thing I'll be doing is everyone having comments now. I don't know how many people there are watching us live, or simply I'll find out right now. Please hold. Your call is important to us. All right, we have got 111 of yous on right now. So what I'd be doing is I'd be making sure I've liked the page, sharing this right away, and at the end of the podcast tonight, we'll announce and we'll message that winner, and they'll simply have probably 1 in 10 chance of going in a box for that game. Right? Everyone good with that?
Well done, Matty, from Tate Sports Cards, and thank you very much, Braden from BMA Trucking. Marlon's just put in the comments there that he's also a proud sponsor of the Campbelltown City Kangaroos as well, so coached by Eric Grove and Eric Grove Sr., the women's team.
Lovely, lovely. All right, before we get on to whatever the fuck that was on Friday night in Darwin, let's start with some news for the week. You know, we actually have a bit of an agenda tonight, which is very, very rare for us, and we've got to keep Joel calm because, look, there's not a smile. Can you give us one smile? Nah, there's nothing. Like, it's going to be, going to be great. All right, let's start with it. We're going to talk about Gutho's injury first of all. News obviously come out during the week, and it's been pretty obvious for a couple of weeks he's been hobbling around. Obviously, he's had the two knee reconstructions, had the off-season surgery on his meniscus, I believe, and now is looking like there's fluid popping up in his knee, which, if you want to read into that, means Gutho is getting towards the end of his career. There was rumours floating around he's going to be moving to six, which hasn't happened, but I guess Parramatta are starting to realise long-term with this injury that Gutho won't be around for a longer, so things are going to have to change there. Hey, and I'll get your thoughts on that one first of all. Obviously, a bit going on in Gutho's week this week.
Yeah, big week for Gutho with the news coming out, and as you said, probably in the back half of the career with that kind of injury kind of clouding him. I said that I think Gutho will probably move to the centres potentially next season. I really do see it happening. I think for the rest of this season, if he stays fit to an extent, because he's probably definitely not at his best, then he'll probably stay there at fullback. But as we go on into further years, I think he'll get that centre spot. I don't think you can play him in the halves, but yeah, I don't think the club will go down the road of a big contract extension because of these things coming out. And a lot of talk about Blaise Taulagi moving to fullback, which we could see either late in the year as a bit of an experiment if we're out of the finals, or even early next year, round one.
Yeah. I'll go to you, Joel. Like, obviously, massive news to come out, and then to see him named. Like, does it just show there's a problem at the club with Gutho being named? Like, we know he would want to play against Manly being his old team and how much he always turns up against him, but I think it highlights a bit of a bigger issue. I'll get your thoughts on it, both those situations.
Yeah, look, it sort of just sums up everything at the moment, doesn't it? Like, to be fair, Gutho has been the heart and soul of his team for years now, and it's, in a way, it's good to see him named still. At least we know we'll have someone there trying their guts out. He's the only one that has been this year, basically. And when do you put a stop to that? Because if he's not there on Friday, he's not going to be there to coach players like Sivo, who's been named to play again. He relies on him. I'd hate to see what the performance is going to be like without Gutho there, at least his voice on the field, because I think so many players rely on that. And if he's not there doing what he normally does, honestly, the scoreboard could blow out. It could just blow up.
Yeah, for sure. I'll go to you now, Troy, and I'll bring in the other point as well, which obviously went around. We posted on the page. Gutho's Instagram like of liking NRL and Nine. Now, it's been taken as both ways. It's been taken as Gutho being as a bit of a piss taker. He obviously removed it, so obviously something has happened there. But I want to highlight this as well. It happened. You can talk about the injury as well. But do you really think it's a time where our captain and one of our most senior players should be taking the piss like that?
Well, okay, starting with the Instagram post, I think probably, look, I'm thinking the club told him to take it down because it's obviously not a good look if he's liking a post with Brad Arthur running out of time post. But I think possibly, look, it probably shouldn't have been liked anyway, I don't think. I mean, I think it was a prank. Look, we know how supposedly close Brad Arthur and Clint Gutherson are. So potentially it was a prank, as in him liking it, but now he's taken it down. So I think that was my take on it. I don't think it was real, as in a like as well. You know, he liked it, the fact that, yes, Brad Arthur is running out of time at the club. So I don't think it was that way. In terms of the injury, look, it's a tough one. I got in touch with the NRL physio today and asked him about it. And look, it's not an obvious injury like a hamstring, so you can't really put a timeline on it. A week off, one or 2 weeks off would be good for his knee. But as you said, he's obviously coming towards the end of his career. He's had major knee injuries before. I can't. What I probably would be doing is I'd probably be putting Blaze on the wing and using him at fullback in attack, and potentially they swap around on the field. Like we've seen the Roosters do in the past. We've seen Roger and Anthony Minchello do it way back, but just swap on the field. So Blaze gets more experience at fullback. We know that's where he wants to play, and then he's in the team as well. So, I mean, I guess it's a course of balancing the injury versus what the team needs.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to highlight something as well, guys. I've just discovered a bit of a problem that I can't actually see who shared the post. So I'll just go back because we've got 160, nearly 170 of yous now. So we are giving away a corporate box to the Dragons game, last game of the year, 31st of August, 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Two tickets to a competition, which will be posted on the page, so keep an eye on that. Look, if you've liked the page, you're in the draw when you do that, obviously, as well. But anyone who shares this post tonight automatically have a 1 in 10 chance of getting one ticket to that. So share the post. Once you've shared the post, I just want you to comment saying you shared. Matt will do a good job of starring those comments, and then we'll be able to go back to at the end and randomly select one. So 16 of you, so there's probably about 9 of you that shared it. Guys, share the post. You're automatically in the draw to have 1 in 10 chance. Matt, all those things I've commented, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it was a bit of a both a piss take and an actual like, but then realised he probably nobody would have saw his like or something. But yeah, I think with BA and saying that Blaze wants fullback and players play their best when they play in the position they want, and he wants to play fullback, I think the writing was on the wall there. I don't know when Scuffo signs here, the end of next year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I think he'll definitely probably just retire and move into a coaching role. But yeah, it's a hard one. I think he needs to be on the field for that voice without Mitch there. I think if Mitch was playing, Scuffo would sit a couple of games out. But yeah, I think he just wants to try and get to the bye.
Yeah, which to me just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, look, we're obviously going to touch on this week's game, but I don't give us a lot of chance of winning that game at all. And to carry your captain who's carrying an injury when they could have potentially had, you know, nearly a 3-week rest, like close to, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, it explains why he's not kicking as well.
Yeah, obviously there's been an issue for quite a while. Like I said, it's two ACLs. He's never going to have long-term, you know, the best knee possible. Like, fullback is physically demanding the meters you're covering. Like, you look at his meters, they're constantly high every week. So, and it's the shit that doesn't count off the ball, you know, when he's the defensive line's moving across. So, we know how poor our defensive line can be as well. Yeah, look, Joel's just summed it up perfectly. Not you, Joel. Other Joel in the comments. He's broken. It's as simple as that. And there's not a fix for that. The only fix to that is retirement and hope that he can get to some kind of coaching. All right, let's go to the press conference from that game and then we'll get into the actual game itself. Now, press conference. Joel, I know you're going to turn this into something else. So just say what you've got to say about that press conference, please. And this could be
Do I do it?
I reckon you do it. Because we don't know where this is going to go.
All right, guys.
You don't need it.
It happened anyway.
Because Matt's back.
Honestly,
so
I forget what he even said. I've just zoned out that much from it. And the thing is, I'm so sick of the talk at the moment from the club. All we hear and see now is talk, the players and that, and the coach coming out and saying shit. The time for talking's done. It was done years ago, and they continue to just talk and talk and talk. And the sick thing is we've got fans that actually believe the shit. They continue to believe it. They continue to click the article, open it and go, oh, I actually believe that Regan Campbell would die for the coach. Okay, so what was he doing on the weekend when he couldn't even back up his effort on effort? It wasn't even near dying stage. It wasn't there for his coach. Like, seriously, I'm so over reading this. I don't even click on the crap anymore. Like, I'm just done with it. It's an absolute joke. It's pathetic. The weekend wasn't just a one-off either. It happened 3 weeks ago against the Raiders. So the people who go on and go, oh, it's a one-off effort. No, it's not. It's been twice in 3 weeks now. We've played like utter dog shit. And we've gotten beat 3 times this year already by teams that we all would have predicted to finish below us on the ladder and have all basically embarrassed us, including the West Tigers. Like, it's just not good enough. I'm over it. And just seriously, stop accepting this fucking mediocre club for doing what they're doing at the moment. There is that much that needs to be fixed. Fix it and start holding them accountable instead of just clapping along, being a fanboy or fangirl going, oh, hopefully the club sees my comment and they invite me into the dressing sheds or something. No. Hold them accountable and get changes in the place because it's an absolute dogfight.
I thought you said we didn't need the explosion. Wow. You took my
go
breath
again.
Away, baby.
Go again, Maddie.
Like, I'm just...
No.
Like, I'm actually mentally and physically exhausted from this club at the moment. Like, that's the point it's got to for me. I'm actually disgusted to be a fan of the club. I don't even want to bring it up to people in public. Like, I used to always want to talk footy about Parramatta, stuff like that. I don't want to talk about him at all. I don't even want to see him pop up in my newsfeed. I don't want to see anything at the moment because I'm actually disgusted. And I'm just, it makes me feel sick. The amount of people who still buy the shit that the club tries to speak of with their excuses and stuff, because that's all it is. It's excuses to have all these people in higher places to keep their jobs at the moment, keep their 100 grand a year, keep their free corporate tickets and stuff, and they're buying it. So well done, guys. You're the ones that are keeping the club in the shape it currently is, because it's probably the worst shape the club's been in about 10 years.
To be fair, this is not about the press conference, but we'll get back to that. To be fair, I am starting to see the tide change. I am starting to see the majority of fans get on board this, you know, this isn't acceptable kind of thing. Obviously, look, the club, if you want to talk about social media, which obviously a lot has to do with social media, the club barely posted, I think, after Friday. They put that one training session up, the fan day where they were obviously, you know, doing what they do up there, which is more about politics and money than obviously is winning games, as we are well aware of. But I'm the same as Joel. Like, you know, I said this the other night, I'm at the point too where I'm over it. Like, we've been doing this for way too long. Like, I've been a member since I finished school in 2010. So I finished school, turned 18 in 2009, traveling, you know, it's a 330-kilometre round trip. And it's at the point now where it's just not motivating to go. Like I said on the League of Inches one with Joel, the only time I'll be going to games now is when I'm taking my son until the shit gets better, until change is made. And we're hearing things are going to happen, but then on the other side, we're also hearing they don't want to pay out money because they care more about their money and their back pocket, which is where it's going. Like, you know, the club is, we're probably one of the richest clubs. Well, we probably are the richest club, let's be honest. Like, the Leagues Club didn't even have to give our football club any money last year. That's how well we're doing. Okay, so all this money they're making is obviously for their own gain. Like, I guarantee they don't release their salaries, how much they're talking, and we're talking about O'Neill here. It's as simple as that. Matt, you said today that there could be change happening. Can you tell us anything else?
Not really. I talked to a few people within the club and a few of the sponsors in the know. Apparently the juniors and the pathways, and we've seen Nathan Brown walk out because of this earlier in the year and BA not getting along with BA and BA choosing. There's rumours that pretty much all our junior players are sent to Rouse Hill Rhinos because that's BA's coach club, and told the only way they're going to play first for the Parramatta Eels is if they go to that junior club. Our juniors are a mess, apparently, and there's going to be like a massive clean out, and it could literally take 10 years to fix that pathway system again. So it's a mess is what I'm hearing, and
obvious too by the results. Like, I know obviously when the SG ball comp last year and stuff, but you know, like, these players aren't coming through any higher. Like, it's dying off, they're going elsewhere. My theory is a coach that obviously won't give players a go when they're going elsewhere. Opportunities. Look, we said it before, and it feels like we need to obviously say it again because we're not being fucking listened to, but players do need to be held accountable, and that's the biggest issue. Your junior players are going to look to go elsewhere if they know they're not going to be given a chance, because players are just being picked because of who they are or what they did 2 years ago, which isn't good enough. I'm with Joel. I'm with what Matt's saying as well. And we have been for a while. We need a clean out, and it needs to start at the top. Okay, O'Neill gone. Take Arthur with him. Whoever else needs to go on the way, a fresh start. Look, if they want to bring in fucking Bennett, which I don't think is a long-term option, But bring in Bennett, bring in someone he wants as an assistant coach next year as a caretaker for the rest. Like, there's obviously Josh Hennay, it started to pop around a little bit. I've seen the comments as well. It was a Cronulla, is that, wasn't it, before Fitzgibbon was there, where he did quite a good job. So, possibility, bring him in, get him as an assistant, give Ben a year or two or whatever, then he takes over. But something needs to happen because, like Joel said, and like we've been saying for weeks, it's just been building up and building up, and we're just going to absolute shithole. So, Troy, your thoughts on pretty much everything that's been said in the last 7.5 minutes?
Yeah, well, is sacking a coach mid-year, is that an answer? Is that a good answer? I mean,
it's working for them.
Statistics show you generally get a win the week after, but I would have thought that at the end of the year, definitely it would have been an option.
But then you start in a preseason, like, you're better off. We've seen it before with Parramatta. Like, obviously, Jason Taylor came in 2007 and took over. Brad came in originally as a caretaker coach, didn't he, when Kearney was fired? I know he didn't get the job the year after, and the club really did fuck up there, in my opinion. But, like, you know, obviously something was building. If you're bringing in a caretaker coach that's willing to work with the coach for the next year, then, you know, obviously moving forward is the thing. Like, it's just stale. Like, the club's gone stale at the moment. I'll let you have your say.
Look, the other question I want to ask you guys is, we've seen that obviously this week we do have a junior making his debut, but we've seen Ricky Stewart at the Raiders, particularly this year, give youngsters a go, and he's happy for them, for the Raiders to have losses because he knows that's going to be good for their development. And so he's not too worried. He wasn't too worried about last week's game against the Broncos. What do you think that it would be a different situation at Parramatta if Brad had given Blaze, had given Ethan, had given Matt Arthur a start earlier on?
I think Ethan getting picked is BA trying to save himself.
No. That's not what it is at all. We've got a game that we're no chance of winning this week. Ethan Sanders has come out and told the club already that he's signed for Canberra. Now, they've got 10 days to make a decision if they counteract. What Brad Arthur, in my opinion, and his pride and his inability to swallow his pride is doing here is giving this kid a go in a game he knows they can't win, because I can 100% guarantee with Poggy getting injured that Canberra signed him and said, we want him now. Brad Arthur's going to give him a go. When it doesn't come up, he'll go, oh, I told you he's no good, you can have him. And all of a sudden, Brad Arthur looks like, you know, he listened to the fans and gave the kid a chance. That's what I'm thinking. That's my thinking behind it. Either that, or they're thinking to themselves, okay, let's give him a go, and if we do want to counteract in 10 days, we can. But, like, fuck, it's too much of a coincidence that the article comes out and all of a sudden he's named, isn't it?
It does, but, I mean, I think, yeah, I can't blame Ethan for going down to Canberra, but he's looking for an opportunity to play first grade. He wasn't going to get that at Parramatta unless a player got injured or representative duties. So he wouldn't want to play New South Wales Cup and play five or whatever first grade games a year. He would want to play consistent football. So I don't blame him for going down to Canberra. I think it's obviously a very tough situation at the moment. But Matty, how do you think Joey Grimer did it with the juniors at Parramatta when he was there?
Oh, he was excellent. I think that he'll get them into a comp. Look at how many titles we've won in the juniors the last couple of years. So we've made semis, we've made grand finals, we've won grand finals.
The thing is,
he got a better offer to try and get Port Moresby in there. So
it doesn't matter what we're doing because we're not bringing him through, and that comes back to one man. I'm sorry, but your junior development coaches can only do so much. And you look at Arthur's history, it's not just problems with the juniors. Like Nathan Brown's obviously left now as well. Look at how many different assistant coaches he's had across the – how many years he's been charged now. It's 11 years. It was 2014 he came in. So, what? Yeah, this is his 11th year, right? He has had that many different assistant coaches. The bloke obviously doesn't want to listen to people and obviously does not want to, you know, listen to those junior coaches bringing players through. And that's pretty obvious by his conference about – you know, when they asked him about Wayne Bennett coming as a coaching director, he said, I can coach, I don't need someone. Like, every good. If you look at all the great coaches,
but you guys last week said that Brad doesn't have autonomy on naming the squad.
He's got there's influences still coming. But we're talking about junior developments and players coming through. He can still make the call to give a player a go. Like if he thinks a player is good enough, and look, Matt's on a very interesting point. How many Rouse Hill Rhinos juniors have debuted? Like, there's more to this. There's got to be more to this. The club's in shambles. Like, oh no, I'm like Joe. I'm just fucking over it. Can I change mine to over this shit as well? Hayden, have you got anything to say?
You'll have to log out and log back in.
Yeah. I don't know, mate. I'm having a bit of a quiet night. Now, I'll just say I think the problem goes further than BA. I think in regards to sacking, we all made our thoughts on, you know, when he'll go this season. But honestly, the way the club's speaking right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he's there at the end of the year and we go into a new coach announced at the end of the year, which is just ridiculous considering the way that we're going. But, you know, with the issues we've seen with the – I don't think the Gutherson was a prank thing at all. I think it was just a genuine in-the-moment thing, and I think there's some problems really brewing underneath the club that aren't coming out, and I think they're going to come out, and I don't think it will be the juniors that are having a clean out. I think it'll be the first grade next year. Like, even, like, I don't hate the team list this week. I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. But players like Luke Moretti, who are actually sitting there having a dig, and Brad Arthur just picking the same old players. Like, Kelma Talangi's been on reserves for the last 2 weeks and he's just randomly brought it back in. It just seems like he wants to save his job this week, but it's just weird for mine. I just can't see him getting sacked in the next 3 weeks over the bye, though. I don't think it'll happen.
And yeah, just on the question that you did actually originally ask, Adam, that no one's answered.
Yeah, we've gone a long way.
About the press conference that he had on the weekend, he basically should be saying that to himself, if we're being honest, because he's the one that's continued to choose and select players that haven't been putting in effort all year. Someone like Sean Lane has done absolutely jack shit all season, and because he's best mates with him, continues to pick him week in, week out, and continues to get the start. And then he wants to turn around to us and try and sell to our supporters that it's all on the players. No, it's not. It's all on you, Brad Arthur, because you're the one picking these players. It should have been Ethan Sanders in the team as soon as Mitch Moses was out. You've chosen two other halves before him. You continue to play Dylan Brown as a halfback. And I've seen a lot of people in the comments saying it doesn't matter about jerseys for a post that we put up today, but he has actually been playing as a halfback, guys. Don't get fooled by that. He has been.
Brad Arthur genuinely believes
in his sicko head that Dylan Brown is a halfback when he's clearly not, and all us fans can see he's not. And he continues to do all this shit. Like, Brad Arthur, you're not fooling me, and hopefully you're not fooling a plenty of other people, because all I got out of that on the weekend was you're trying to take the pressure off yourself, put it onto the players. You're the one selecting these players. Stop doing it and actually show some balls for once. Show you like and love the club like you say you do and tell people and start making the changes we deserve.
Yeah, for sure. Look, we're gonna move on to something else soon, but we'll touch on that press conference quickly. The part-time players comment. That, like you said, it's on him. He's got to make the players accountable. Now, if you're going to come out with a ridiculous comment, I know it could have been a hear the moment thing, but say that in a press conference, you have to make the changes after it. Now, what's he dropped? He's dropped Cartwright because of injury, really, because Cartwright isn't 100%. He's dropped Russell so he could bring Sivo back in. The previous thoughts on Sivo were quite simple. The club wants him there for the marketing value. He was never going to spend too long in reserve grade. Now, he's pretty much changed his bench around. Like you said, Moretti's been dropped. He's brought Hands in. Who else was dropped off that bench? Kelmer was not.
Blaze Talangi only came in because was he even going to be used last week in Darwin? Like, we speak about this 5 minute thing, and I genuinely believe that he was going to bring Blaze into the game and find a way, but we'll probably never know if that was the case. But he literally only came on because of the Dejan Arce head knock.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll go into obviously reviewing that game somehow. Once again, I'll say it again. We're going to keep pushing this tonight. For those who missed it early on, because there's 200 of you online now, we've got a sponsor come on board, two sponsors come on board, but the one we're obviously promoting tonight, the other one will come in the comments tomorrow, is Matt. Obviously, he's got Tate Sports Cards up and running. We're giving away two tickets in a corporate box for the last game of the home game of the year on the 31st of August, 3 p.m. against St. George. We're giving away another ticket, so that'll be a comment, obviously, that goes up on Facebook. You've got to like and share and comment and all that kind of stuff. The other one, all you have to do is share tonight. Every week we're going to pick one person, and there'll be pretty much a 1 in 10 chance of getting another ticket. So once you've shared it, comment and say you've shared it. Matt will keep starring those comments, and at the end of the show, we'll announce one person, 1 in 10 chance of winning a $300 pretty much corporate box thing, Legends Lounge. The Legends, you'll be surrounded by us, but there'll be other Legends there as well. But who gives a fuck? Like, the season will be probably over by then, so piss and alcohol will make it enjoyable.
We're going to do a podcast there?
It's run amok night, guys. End of season run amok.
Mad That's Monday on a Sunday.
It's silly, sad day. All right, let's go to that game. I'm running out of battery, to be honest, so someone else might have to take over soon. But it's the way I've always got a charge before you get online, guys. But look, first half, although we were winning, it was terrible. It was a terrible quality game. It was actually one of the worst quality games I've seen for quite a while. The amount of ball we had, we should have scored a lot more tries early on. I want to give a shout-out, first of all, for their first half performance to the back five. You could physically see after 5 minutes that our forward pack and our hooker were absolutely gassed. Like, 5 minutes in, you could see they were gassed from the heat. Once again, why the fuck we continue to take a game to Darwin, I'll never know, besides the $1 million that we get. But it was pretty obvious we were going to run out of oomph at the end. Now, a lot of it come down to poor mismanagement of the bench, in my opinion, and when to bring players on and off, because our players are absolutely gassed. He got out-coached by a master coach, even though he wasn't even there. He did it by a phone call at halftime. They kept the younger, zippier players, went with a much smaller forward pack, and they ran through the middle of us. It's as simple as that. They didn't worry about their halves. They got Jeremy Marshall-King to run out and run from the ruck and just cut through us, as simple as that. But what I was going to say, and it's probably the only positive I could say, was our back five in that first half, I thought were incredible, the amount of meters they made out of trouble. They really got in and had to go, but there was nothing left in the tank at the end. If I had to give a player of the match, I'd give it to Will Pennicini. Once again, I thought Dylan Brown was okay, but still, trying to play as a halfback, but he clearly isn't. Matt, your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was disappointing. I still don't get this whole going up the day before. It should go up a couple of days, acclimatise, like... one of the old coaches, I won't name his name, but he used to put literally, they called it the hot box. He had a demountable with heaters and exercise bikes. And leading up to that game, he had the forward packs in there on the bike for 20 minutes at a time. And they were the games we actually won in Darwin. But I feel like,
Brad's only been the coach, hasn't he?
I think if Russell learns to put down the ball like a winger, we go further in front in that game in the first half. But, yeah, it was always going to be tough. We watched every other game we play in Darwin where it just seems the last 20 minutes every other team comes over us as well. But, yeah.
Yeah. Hayden, your thoughts?
I thought there were three players that played as best as they could. One of them will actually surprise you, but I was genuinely watching this game until the final 10 minutes where I just listened to it leaving the league's club, just sitting there getting laughed at all game. But that's a story for another time. But, yeah, like you, Will Pennicini, he had a great game. I thought Bailey Simonson's carries, early ball, getting early ball was good to see. Sean Lane, look at his stats. He had a try. He had one missed tackle. He had 33 tackles made. I know everyone's been hating on him all year, and I have too. But in this game, I thought he was up there in defence when our forwards that you mentioned, Adam, were tired. When Campbell Gillard, Junior Barlow, Offahen Gowie were getting gas, Sean Lane was there, and I thought he actually had a pretty good game.
And one ripped jersey.
And
one ripped jersey.
He ran. First of all, shout out to Sean Lane for getting me the first try scorer money. That's about the only positive you get. He ran for fucking 73 metres in an 80-minute performance. Sean Lane in 2022 was running for 160, 170 metres. Yes, he had one missed tackle. You know why? Because he generally was making no attempt to get there to even touch the player, so they weren't classified as
missed tackles. There was no one making tackles on the night, though. Everyone was getting through, as you said, Marshall King, Isaiah Katoa, Trey Fuller. And I know it's weird to say because I've been the same all year saying he's been shit. But I genuinely thought in defence, watching that game, he was one of the first men there to get. But before Lussick, he was there in tackles. But anyway, I thought Lane had a better game, so we'll see how he goes against Manly. But really frustrating to let in, obviously, 40 points there in 35 minutes. Pretty disgraceful. Dolphins were paying, I think, $4.20 at halftime. I thought they were good odds, but I never considered us to just implode like that. I know we're not exactly used to heat conditions. We're more of a colder kind of team here in Sydney, but yeah, really, really embarrassing performance. I think we've got 1 year left in that Darwin deal, and I really hope they do scrap it. I'm over it.
Just finally, on your Sean Lane comment, you can compare dog shit to horse shit, but at the end of the day, it's still shit. Joel, you've given most of your thoughts. Do you got anything else to say on the game?
I thought the interchanging was disgraceful. He kept overplaying forwards through the middle and stuff who weren't handling the conditions, and he didn't adjust himself accordingly, BA. He just had a plan in place, thinking we're playing at 10 degrees on a night at Combank, and just continued to play that sort of a style. I know, like you guys talk about Will Pennsylvania. I actually want to talk about Will Pennsylvania a little bit in terms of, I actually think we're killing him. I feel like we're using him completely wrong. We are making him just bash himself week in, week out. We're going to, like, honestly, he's going to be done in the next 4 or 5 years playing like that. We should not be using him as a battering ram. He should be used as like a strike center, getting good quality ball and getting some time and space with that ball, not being used to take a hit up every set because we've got two wingers, one of them named Sean Russell, who won't do anything, and he's just as bad as Marcus Eva. And I've been saying it all year that our freaking wingers are rubbish and we need new ones. Like, we shouldn't be making one of our star center doing that sort of a job. Like, to me, it's just absolutely crazy.
I think it just comes down to that weakness of our back line. Like you said, Sivo's got to be told what to do by Gutho to run the ball. Russell seems to be scared of contact, and it's as simple. I thought he was getting better for a while, but I think he's been whacked too many times. And, like, Harper, look, I can't bag at Harper on the weekend. I thought Harper, once again, had a decent crack. But, like, he's not a strike player. Like, if you've got one of your centers doing that every second week and the other one concentrating on the flair of the game, you're onto a winning formula, but we just don't have that at the moment. Down to you, Troy.
Look, many people will probably be surprised about this, but I think that was the worst game I've ever seen for Parramatta play, to be honest, even worse than the 98 prelim final.
Is that why you're not wearing your Territory Eels hat this week? Or?
No, I did it because you don't like it. But I do have it around here somewhere, actually. But was even worse than the 98 prelim final, I think. The Dolphins scored 8 tries in, what was it, 25 minutes. Their record for a game is 7 tries in a game, and they beat that in 25 minutes. You're right, Hayden, there only is one more year left on this current deal. I don't know why they can't do what they did for the 2022 prelim final and just fly in and then on the day maybe or late the night before and then spend a couple of days after the event, or they could change it if they want to do it for a sponsorship deal. Why don't they play the trial games up there where you can have unlimited interchange? They still get their rugby league up there, but there's only one more year, so I don't think they'll renew that. I hope they don't renew it, but yeah, look, I really struggled to find a player of the game, to be honest. I just couldn't. Oh,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, you're right.
I just couldn't think of one. Look, the stats for the forwards' run meters weren't that good. The backs got more run meters than the forwards. Yeah, I thought probably when Gutho took that kick at to make it 10-4, I thought maybe they potentially should have went for the try. I think, yeah, have a crack at going for the try, not just 2 points. And I know, Adam, you said that was to give the players a break and a breather, but we all know the conditions up there. But go for the try. You're not gonna beat the Dolphins by scoring an extra 2 points.
Backpedal. Backpedal. Just don't take the fucking game there and don't have to worry about having a break in the nice, cool set. Don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, living in the country, I'm all for games being taken to the country. Who's got TV going in the background, FYI? Because that is loud as fuck. So, sounds like a circus. Can anyone else hear that? Or is it just me?
Is that the clown? Is that Hayden's clown?
Clowns. Jesus Christ, I thought Brad Arthur was about to appear on the press conference.
But look, can we just clear up? Can we just clear up? It's not Parramatta who make the decision about who plays up there.
Yeah, we know that. We know.
But
that.
Some people don't. Some people don't. They've said all week, why do they take Queensland teams there? Why do they do that? It's the NRL.
In saying that too, like you saw it, every time we've gone to Darwin, it's been like an away game. There's more of the other side's fans than there is of ours.
Yeah, because it's closer for them to get there, and it's more expensive for our fans to get there.
No, it's not that. It's not that. There's lots of things I could say around that, and I'm not going to say it, but the teams we're attracting there, there's a lot of heroes in their teams of people that live in Darwin. That's what I'm going to word it as, okay? So we're fucking up. And that's why the Northern Territory government wants to take those teams there. You know, when they can attract their Thurstons and their Hemmers and stuff like that. Like, obviously, he wasn't there, but look, it's as simple as that. I just want to highlight one thing. Was it Tom that just put that comment up? Look, he's buying you a drink and dinner, Troy, for saying something negative. So that's absolutely incredible. I hope you've shared it because you're currently winning the chance to go in the draw with those comments. I'm sorry you got to have dinner with Troy, though.
Mate, it'd be all very right. entertaining.
Be very entertaining. Mate, you get a few drinks in him. He is on fire. It is great. We love a drunk, Troy.
drink responsibly.
From that game? No, just put it in the past. Move on till this Friday night smashing. All right. Look, obviously we touched on it before. The news of Sanders is gone. We know he's gone now. The club's got 10 days. People obviously want to touch on it, but for those who missed it, he's told the club he is leaving. So Arthur's given him a chance. Obviously, there's a few different reasons behind that, in my opinion, but he will be leaving. Look, it leaves us in pretty desperate times. Well, we don't really have a backup halfback, but we are going to have to sign someone because if you look at the track record over the last few years, Moses seems to miss a few games every year because of some kind of injury. There's obviously rumours about Origin as well, so... but we'll move on and congratulate Ethan for making his debut finally. Brad's finally swallowed his pride, but not really because he couldn't quite name him in the seven, so he can't quite admit that Dylan isn't the halfback, even though Dylan will play like a 5'8", and hopefully they work it out. I'll run through the team. I'll give you my opinion. I'll go to everyone else, but Parramatta team for this week, Gutherson at fullback at the moment, Simonson on one wing, Sivo somehow returns on the other wing after just two games in New South Wales Cup and an apparent lack of effort. Pennacini and Harper in the centres. I've got no problems with that. I think Harper's done his job, to be honest. Like, we know the way that Brad Arthur thinks. I'm not saying he's going to win us a game, but he's not going to drop him against his old team. Sanders at 5'8", Brown at 7", Hopgood, Locke, Lane and Madison the second row, Paul Lowe and Campbell Gillard in the front row, Lussick somehow keeps his spot at hooker. Bench of Hands, Makatoa, Offengau, Italagi, and who's going to help me out with the 18th man? Is it Russell?
Jake Arthur.
Yeah, that was some manly. Russell. Then Moretti, Arcee, Greg, Tiggy. Look, obviously the changes. I'll tell you what he's changed. He's brought Sivo back in, which I honestly cannot get. I just can't get that. He's brought Sanders in with Arcee. He's kind of forced that one with Arcee being classified as category. I don't know, Parramatta are trying to get that reversed, but let's see what happens there. I don't know how Lussie's kept his spot. Honestly, I've never seen, I don't know what the actual stats were, but he was absolutely fucked. He was lazy through the middle. He did not seem like he cared. In the first half when we had the ball in our line, he overplayed. I know Hayden's given Lane a shout out, but Lane literally was useless again. Madison was terrible off the bench and earns himself a promotion to the starting team. And you look at the bench, Makatoa, look, he's brought him back in. Kelmer comes back in as well after playing reserve grade. Often Gowie will start or go to the bench. Yep, no, I don't get it either. And Hands obviously comes in. So is that him admitting that he knows Lussick's fucked and Lussick can't play 80 minutes and looks lazy? I don't get it. Thoughts, Joel? We're going to start with you.
Stop going to me first. Go to me last.
No, because you usually say it all, then no one has anything to say and it saves us time.
Well, if the reason he's picking players is because they're versed in their old club, we are in danger because, I'm sorry, Morgan Harper has been shit. Like, whether it's his fault last week or not, or he got away with a week where he didn't make a clumsy error, he's still not a very good first-grade quality player. So the fact we've still got him in the back line speaks volumes to me about the concerns that I have around our back line at the moment. That's starters. Secondly, I know it's named Sanders 6, Dylan Brown 7, and people believe it's going to be switched. I don't actually think it will. I actually genuinely believe Sanders will play as a 5'8 and Brown a halfback because Brad Arthur is that pig-headed about himself and up himself. He will just keep it that way because he said to everyone that he believes Dylan Brown is a halfback and he's doing the job, and he will keep it that way. And we'll have this poor kid out there getting absolutely demolished at Brookvale Oval on Friday night, and it will be fantastic to watch. Lussick has done absolutely nothing apart from the first, round and a half.
What has he been, Joel? Give him...
What?
What has he been?
Rubbish.
Oh, he's been absolutely, I thought you were going to say something else.
Oh, mate, I'll keep it PG, but I could say lots of things about him. I've already said in the past we shouldn't have signed him. We literally have let go of Reid Marnie for this bloke. This club is an absolute shambles because Reid Marnie is head and shoulders above him at the moment. He's arguably the top three hookers in the game as we stand. We've let the kid go who didn't want to leave the club either, and we've signed someone like Lussick. Like, if Lussick's not good enough, and Brad Arthur's trying to say that now by having a second hooker, drop him. Hands is a better hooker, and so is Matt Arthur, which we've discussed on here plenty of times. Stop naming these players that clearly are not doing a job and rewarding them the next week with a first-grade jersey, man. Like, it's actually just embarrassing, and this is the stuff I keep talking about. We keep naming players where the opposition would sit back and literally they'd probably be in their video sessions laughing their heads off going, oh, we know how we're going to target this team now. Sevo couldn't defend himself, his shadow. Like, he's horrible, and we're putting him back, rewarding him after 2 weeks where, from all the reports I've heard, and because I refused to watch him, I was enjoying 2 weeks without watching the idiot. So everyone told me he's been horrible at New South Wales Cup and hasn't worked on any of the areas that he needed to work on, where it's effort areas and the like and defensive reads. He hasn't improved on anything. Yet Brad Arthur continues to reward these players. And now my final point, what are we doing with Blaze Talangi? If I was him, I'd be on the phone to my manager in the morning or yesterday, and I would have said to him, get me out of this club. What is our actual plan with this kid who is really bright future? What?
Well, they're
lucky if Lomax comes.
But well, that's the thing. If I was Lomax, I'd ring Nick on my deal, to be honest. But what is Blaze doing? Blaze should be on the wing at least to then start getting some practicing in first grade, and then away he goes. He can start swapping with Gutho throughout the game and seeing how that works, and then blood him in that way. To now have him again out of the team, it's clear to me Brad Arthur has no idea. And yes, you know what the difference is about sacking a coach now and at the end of the season? At least now we'll know there's a plan in place moving forward. We just get rid of him now, move on. We've got the bye next week. We've got a week and a half to plan things. See you later.
Yeah, I want to touch on that Blaze one quickly. Arthur came out a couple of weeks ago and said he's not a half. He sees him as a long-term fullback for the club. Yet not only has he dropped him this week after not knowing how to use him when we've got a fullback who's clearly struggling to use some time off early in the season. Now, whether you want to believe the season's over or not, the result of this game won't matter. I can't see us winning this game either way. So give him a rest. Give the kid a run. What he's done is he's gone and named him as 5'8 in New South Wales Cup. So he said he's not a half. He's our long-term fullback. He'll take over from Gutho. Then he's put him at 5'8". It just shows he's got no fucking idea. And it shows how really bad our half depth is as well. Because Hands comes into the team. Sanders comes into the team. All of a sudden, we haven't got any halves. Arcee won't clear the protocol, so he won't play. Like, if I need to play 7 for New South Wales Cup this week, I will. Troy, your thoughts on that team and really things moving forward as Joel's gone into?
Yeah, just want to ask, how much did Reid leave the club for?
$650,000, wasn't it?
So what was the difference in offers? How much did he leave
for? $100,000.
Okay, so I've heard $50,000,
But the thing is, that comes down to one man once again.
Well, look, if it's 50,000, well, then that's on him, isn't it? Because if you wanted to win competitions, then you'd stay, wouldn't you?
But his team's going better than our team is, and they look closer to win a competition at the moment than us. It comes down to O'Neill. O'Neill had this belief because he got lucky with a couple of players who showed a bit of loyalty, which is rare, that we're not going to overpay players. We're going to pay them what we think they're worth. Well, it doesn't matter. A player is as much as worth as another team is prepared to pay him. It's like me saying, that jersey you've got on, Troy, it's worth $150. But if Hayden wants to pay $200 for it, it's just, that's how much it's worth. It's worth that much. Okay, so that's where we fucked up massively. Like, look, I had questions over Reed's shoulders, and I think he struggled last year, probably tried to overplay. But as Joel said, he's in the top three hookers again at the moment, where he was when he left us. Compared to what we've got, I think a lot of that was invested in the fact they knew they had Matt Arthur coming through as well. There was obviously talk about him for quite a while. But now we won't even give that kid, he won't even give his own son a run. Like I've said before, that comes down to the fans, but he's scared. So these issues have been going on for way too long, and they're just starting to surface now, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Mike Acevo, I don't know what he has done to earn a recall. Ethan Sanders at 5'8 should be at halfback. Dylan should be at 5'8. We see Newcastle bring in a fullback for a fullback. So, I mean, why can't Parramatta do the same thing? I've said all year that you cannot win a competition with only one hooker. He's gone with two this week, so maybe we might see something different. Makahesi Makatoa, he must have done something in New South Wales Cup, even though they've only won one game, so to get a recall. I think Kelmer should have probably got the starting spot in the second row rather than Ryan Madison.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I just want to go back because I received a message, just Joel. My Max can't back out, whoever said it. If he does back out, it means St. George have got to give him $800,000 a year, which I don't think they're keen to do the way things have been handled there this year. So I think he'll come no matter what. But, yeah, look, before I go to Hayden for his thoughts, keep those comments coming in, Guy. Remember to share, as again, said once again, giving away that corporate box in about 10 weeks. So one person will be selected to go into one ticket for that box. Sorry, they'll get one entrance, one in 10 chance, which will be joined in 10 weeks. So share away. Let us know when you've shared and we'll announce that soon. Hayden? Team, thoughts?
Yeah, definitely a weird team compared to the team that beat Manly at Parramatta about 5 weeks ago now. Lots of changes. I think the Sebo one, obviously I think Blaise Talangi probably deserves the spot with the Russell dropping. I think the decision's kind of fair. Like Joel, I don't think he'll be our winger next year. I still think he'll get a lot of first grade this season, but going forward, I think the club will look in a different direction. I think he might be at another club or even a New South Wales Cup player. So I can see why that's happened. Maybe Channel 9 gave Parramatta a call to say there weren't enough Fijian viewers on the program last week.
Well, it is the only game on Friday night too, so maybe that's a reason, Hayden.
So Sivo's come straight back in there. I didn't even realise the Makahesi. I said he was decent in the New South Wales Cup game in Canberra, but that was like 3 weeks ago now, so I haven't really seen New South Wales Cup. Good to see Brendan Hands being named on the bench, but as someone said, Brendan Hands is more likely going to get 5 minutes. So, really, really interesting team this week going to Brookvale.
Yep. Finally, Matt.
Yeah, it's a weird one, especially Makatoa. Maybe BA is going to do the old school dirty tactics and when we're losing the game, Makatoa
take out Tommy.
But he won't, though, because Brad Arthur loves Manly. We do know that.
The expendable in the team. But, I don't know. It's a weird team. To come out and say Blaze is your long-term fullback and then name him 5'8 in New South Wales Cup, I would have just put Harper on the wing and put Blaze back in the centres or something like that. But, it's a weird team. And, it's all but BA given up, I think.
Oh, it's his final throw, really. It's as simple as that. Just a shout out to everyone once again sharing, but shout out to all those that said they won't be joining us again next week. Look, we're getting a fucking list, and I think it's great. I'm glad you took the time to comment because all the comments help us grow. So the list of talking power is just growing and just keeping coming. If you're not joining us, I love when you let us know. It lets me sleep at night for knowing that there's that many people up the club's ass that much they don't like our opinions. All right, well, it's the fun part now. I'm not going over the bowl predictions. Actually, I'm going to go over the bowl predictions from last week. You know why?
Water bottles.
Yeah, and I scored some points. Well, I didn't even count the water bottles.
He didn't drink water. He drank sparkling water out of the cans.
The sparkling cans he was drinking.
Yeah, so he didn't drink any water.
How many water bottles ended up being on the thing? Did anyone guess seven? I think Joel was the closest, but I think it was
I think there was eight.
I
didn't count. I literally was close to throwing a water bottle through my TV, so I wasn't going to count water bottles. Look, bowl predictions. Score, I had 36-10. That was an old one. That doesn't count. You cheat. Troy had 40-10, which was almost in reverse.
Yeah.
Hayden had 22-10. Joel had 26-10. Matt had 30. We all thought we'd win, which we really should have, but we didn't, so no one gets a point. First try score, I had Regan Campbell-Gillard, but I backed Lane, so I fucked up there. Well, I did well, actually. Troy had Jermaine Hopgood, no. Gutho for Hayden. Morgan Harper for Joel. And Arcee for Matt. No one get it. Blaze to start for Bailey. Didn't happen, Matt. Both June and Arcee to score. We've had a shocker. Bowl prediction, Eels to lead 14-4 at halftime. That wasn't too far off, Hayden. Brown, 240-20s. I don't even know if he found the ground on one of his kicks. And Adam was three forwards to score. Now, technicality. Adam gets the points. Adam didn't say three Parramatta forwards to score. And there was more than three forwards scored in the game. So congratulations to Adam. Gets 10 points for Gryffindor for that one. Look, he's got to be fucking smarter, guys. He's got to be smarter.
Rigged.
All right. Look, final time I say it before we go into bowl predictions. So as we touched on earlier, we've got sponsors come on board. We've got BMA Trucking coming on board. So this is obviously what we're going to do. It's going to be a correct score competition. It starts at $50 this week. Our scores will obviously be put as the post for that. And then you've got to like BMA Trucking. The link will be there. Make sure you've liked our page. Start at $50. It's a $50 voucher to a merchandise store. We're not going to say where yet because at the moment I don't want to give it to Parramatta because I don't want to get the money. So it could be to the NRL shop, maybe Peter Wynn, something like that. We'll find somewhere for these guys, but it'll be a voucher. It's going to jackpot by $20 every week. It doesn't go up. Now you've got to get the exact correct score and it's first in, best dressed. So if you comment second with that same score and someone gets it right, the first person gets it. There's no lucky draw. All right, so get on to that. And obviously the other one, as we've touched on, the box. So after we do our predictions, I'll go through and pick someone that starred. They'll go into the draw for that one ticket. The competition will go up tomorrow. All you got to do is make sure you've liked every single person's page here, which will be put up. Share the post, comment who you take, and we'll be giving away two tickets in about 10 weeks for that game on the 31st of August. All right, so that's two tickets in the Legends Lounge, so you can bring whoever you want. If you've got a missus, I suggest not bringing her. If you're a girl and you've got a partner, I suggest not bringing him. So whatever works, bring whoever you want. Bring your dad, bring your dog. You know, I don't really give a shit. Just don't bring up someone that's not St. George fan. All right, simple rules. All right, let's get on with it. And I'm going to go first. My bold prediction. Look, you very rarely see a team get smashed 2 weeks in a row. And we've got to show that we have a little bit of fight and something to turn up. So I think we'll be in this game up until halftime. I've only tipped against Parramatta once the whole time we've been doing this podcast. So it shows you how many fucking tips I've got wrong. But I'm going to say that my bold prediction will be 12 all at halftime before Manly run away and win the game 40-16. My first try scorer will be Morgan Harper. Joel?
Manly.
Oh, geez. Manly to win 48 points to nil. I don't even think we're going to try with Gutho looking like he's on his last legs at the moment. I'm very worried where points will come. And I reckon we'll just miss out on making the list. I'll keep getting the list ready and teams keep dropping just short of the list. So bold prediction, I think Cherry Evans will score a hat-trick, which would do my head in because I can't stand the vlog. and first try scorer, Tommy Turbo. Doing the Eagle Rock.
Oh, hey. Good. All right, Hayden, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm not going to this game, boys. I was a bit scared for it anyway, but I was not going to Brookie on Friday night, unfortunately. Thought it was going to be a bit of a tough outing. Obviously, the team list up and down, but I don't know. I've got a weird feeling the boys will win this one. I do. So I'm actually going to go Parramatta here. I don't know why. Don't ask me why, because I'm actually scared. Like, I dead set think it could be a same score to you, like a 38-16 loss. So I'm going to say Parramatta win I just think Manly's defence hasn't been that good. And I reckon Will Pennicini's going to have a blinder here. So I'm going to go Parramatta to win 26-18. I reckon we'll win by 8. Pretty decent win. Not a 13-plus. I can't see that. I reckon Ethan Saunders will have a nice debut. I'm going to go Ethan Saunders first try scorer.
Even Sanders.
Colonel Sanders. And bold prediction, I reckon we'll see similar to the Easter game. I reckon a Manly player will be sin binned, but this time Parramatta will actually score when the Seagulls are a man down. So Manly to have a bin on the home turf and Parramatta to score a try in that time.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Troy?
Good song too. You're pulling out the good song side, Adam. Look, for those that are going to listen to the Paracay podcast tomorrow, I'm going to give you an exclusive.
Cheap plug.
Manly to win, 20-18. First try scorer, Hamoli Olakau'atu. Bold prediction, Tommy Turbo. Parramatta to be leading, 18-16. Tommy Turbo to score the winning try.
All right. Yep.
In the last 5 minutes.
Are you feeling okay tonight, Troy?
Why?
Hey, this is like,
why?
Honestly,
why is that, Joel?
For your sake, you've been very negative towards the club tonight. It's not like you. So
Listening. I'm listening to you. You're saying, you know, put your feelings forward and talk it. So hey, I'm just doing. I want to learn from you, Joel. So I'm doing what you're saying.
He watched Hayden turn into a man a few weeks back and he's been inspired. So it's great. I love it, Troy. I love this side, Troy. You know what we need next week, Troy?
What's that?
We need another drunk Troy episode if this goes to shit, all right?
Another drug episode.
If this goes to shit, we're getting on the piss next Wednesday night for sure before we do this podcast.
Maybe even Tuesday night. But
Tuesday, Troy, yeah.
Have you got a Parramatta try scorer ready, or is it just
Olakau'atu scoring the try? Okay, a Parramatta try scorer. Well, I don't think that really matters, does it? Because that doesn't count, according to Adam.
It's just try scorer. You can say.
Oh, okay. Well, look.
He doesn't need a Parramatta try scorer. He said, "No, it's fine."
Okay. There you go, Hayden.
We're not double dipping, Hayden. There's no double dipping around here, mate.
See, I was following what he said.
I know your generation grew up like that, but that doesn't happen on this podcast. All right. All right, Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, I haven't been to Manly since 2018.
Oh, that was a terrible day, that one.
That was a terrible day.
45-degree heat.
It was, yeah.
And BA had him training for an hour and a half before the game.
I still wake up in the middle of the night.
Mitch got sin-binned
twice. Have nightmares about that, yeah.
I'm going to go because... I don't know. I can't tip against Para and on the Para podcast.
Why not?
CD,
Joel and I did it.
I tip Manly in my tips, but I just can't do it.
There you go. You tip Manly to win.
I can't take Coles bags in the Woolies. Like, I'm just weird. Like. but yeah, I'm going to go Eels 19-18. I'm going to go... I don't know. I haven't even thought this through. I'll just go Sivo first try scorer because it's what everyone wants to see. boost those Fijian memberships for Mark O'Neill to get his bonus at the end of the year. Bold prediction.
Well, obviously, it's got to be a field goal kicker, surely.
I'm going to go Ethan to get 2 try assists on debut.
Lovely. All right, look, keep those questions coming. We'll have a quick time to answer some of those questions. Look, I'm going to randomly do this. Are we randomly doing the share thing, or are we giving it to whoever shared and we felt contributed the best material?
Look, just quickly, it is Anzac Round.
We'll get to that. We're having a vote first. So, Joel, just random or whoever shared we thought contributed the best comment. What do you want to do? Actually, Matt's a sponsor. You're the sponsor, Matt. What do you want? Just a random person who shared it or whoever shared it and contributed?
Your favourite comment.
Favourite comment? Who shared it?
Well,
it's got to go to Tom Scherer. Well, that's quite actually good because that's his name, is Scherer Tom. Yep. And his comment on, which he's gonna buy you dinner and a drink, Troy. He's so proud of the man you've become.
Thanks, Tom. So, shout out, Tom.
not only does he have to buy a drink, he's also the first of 10, I think it's about 10, to go into that draw for that, obviously, that one ticket. Like I said, guys, the post will go up tomorrow for the rest of it, so get on and have a good chance of winning that. All right, Troy, take it away, then we'll answer some questions.
Yeah, look, I was just going to say this is Anzac round as well, so very special day on Thursday, so... a shout out to all the servicemen and women who have served for Australia and who are serving as well. So we really appreciate your service because we wouldn't live in the country that we do today without that service. So thank you very much and have a good day on Thursday.
Yeah, for sure. Well said. All right, what questions have we got, Matt? Anything exciting coming up?
I did save some.
That's good. I'm fucking glad because that's your job.
Just talk about yourselves. I just want to see Hayden versus Joel next week. I mean, that was brought up earlier on in one of the comments. The gloves
Hayden
are off.
Versus Joel.
Yeah, well, Joel commented about people commenting about get para fans into the sheds after games, and I think Hayden mentioned that last week or the week before.
Oh, is it on?
Does anyone want to answer this funny one?
Troy, last week, Alan to leave para. 2 days later, Alan extends with para. Troy's source more reliable than our performers. Well, thank you very much, Alexander. I really appreciate that. But isn't that a bit of a strange situation? The major sponsor of a rugby league team is going to be on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, well, our major sponsor should always be our leagues club, really, when you think about it. Like, I know they're not at the moment, but really that's where most of the money should be coming from. But it's not happening because we don't need it because we're doing so well in the sponsors. But the way we're heading, we'll end up with Parramatta Leagues Club on the front, to be honest, because...
Like, well, we did have that in 2017, I think it was.
They just had para, yeah. But that's because we couldn't get a sponsor after the salary cap shit. But the simple fact is what happened there was stupid comments were made by the board and by the CEO that they don't care about results. And the sponsor, who's obviously a passionate fan, cared about results. So obviously some hard words were spoken. Obviously I'd have to say he was promised that results are important to the club, which they're still not showing. So let's hope it is the case.
Maybe the Talking Para podcast could be the sponsor, major sponsor.
Yeah, not quite yet. I don't think they like us enough. Thoughts on the rumours of Eels' interest in Angus Crichton? He's on 600, like Madison, possibly a player swap. I don't give a fuck. I think it's time for Madison to go, really. Look, Madison isn't a second rower anymore. He's going to get caught out there again. They've conditioned him to be a front rower in the middle, like a lock and front row, whatever you want to call it. And we saw him get exposed in the second row. He couldn't protect his half. I'd say he's probably, if we keep playing where he's going to have a young half next to him this week who he's going to need to protect. And it really worries me that he won't be able to do that. So I don't know what we've got coming through. Joel, I got you excited. Your eyebrows raised then. Josh Randall, I know you've got some thoughts on a young second rower coming through. Is it Charlie? What's his name? Let me know in the comments. I can't quite get his name. It hasn't come to me, but I'll see if I can look it up if someone else wants to answer any other questions. Charlie Goomer. So obviously we've got some good players coming through, and that's one of the points I want to make that I didn't quite get to. I've had a bit of a heated battle going on in my Parramatta group with someone that said if we sign Wayne Bennett, the club needs a 2 to 3 year rebuild. Why would we sign a coach that is not going to be there for 2-3 years? Now, I just want to highlight this straight away, which I meant to say when I forgot. We don't need a 2-3 year rebuild, okay? We need someone who's not afraid to make the calls. I'm reading my own words here, by the way, because I can't remember exactly what I said, but not afraid to make the calls, drop players and bring in the correct ones, and invest in our future. If someone has a terrible attitude or a poor performance, they deserve to be dropped. And we have the good young kids coming through. I still believe we have a spine. Obviously, given Gutho's injury, it's a bit hard to say, but we have the majority of a spine if we pick the correct players, which means Matt Arthur at hooker, that's capable of challenging for a comp. But there's other players there that need to be moved on and younger ones that go through. Now, if you move on Lane, Madison, and bring a young second rower in, it means you've got the money to spend on someone like a Crichton who comes from a winning culture. Whoever else you want to chase in the second rower. Okay, invest in the juniors, as it's just been said there. We also need a coach who'll not answer to the board. We need a coach that the board will respect enough to not try and overrule, and that's all we need. The club's gone stale, and we need a change. That's my final say on that. Any other questions you want
to
take?
It was interesting to see on, I think it was Triple M, where they said that Parra just needed a different voice in the dressing room. And we saw it with Cowboys, had the same roster, but as soon as Paul Green took over, they won a comp. Bennett done it at Dragons. Same roster other than Darius, of course. But, you know what I mean? Like, they just need to freshen up a new voice, and it could work.
We just need, like, the thing with Brad at the moment, and people are talking about getting people like Josh Hannay and stuff in. You can forget that while Brad Arthur's in the chair, because he does want people who will challenge him for his job. Where Wayne Bennett, for instance, if you look at him with the Dolphins, he has Christian Wolf. He has been so highly regarded in and around the world of rugby league now for years as the next big coach in the ranks. And Wayne Bennett wasn't worried. He goes, yep, come on board. More the better. The more footy brains we have in the organisation, the better. Now, I forgot to mention this as well, and I'm surprised everyone got to this point at the show and haven't spoken about this, but after the game on the weekend, we have seen footage of, first of all, Joe Hangawi having a laugh around with opposition players after being absolutely embarrassed and getting smashed. That done my head in. I just had calmed down from that, watching it on Fox. And then about 10 minutes later, they pan over and the Eels coaching staff, and I don't even know who they are, what their names are, and I don't give a shit because I hope they're out of the club this week, are there laughing with the Cavusi brothers after you've just been demolished. I don't care. Do that in the sheds or whatever. If your mates do it in the sheds, it's not a good look to do it on the field after you've just been demolished. Like, that was horrible to see.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not the first time it's happened either. I said, when the fans are hurting, I think Dylan Brown was the only one that summed up well in his post-match interview. Said it wasn't good enough, so credit to Dylan there. He's obviously taking a lot of pressure for that team, and like I said before, he's probably one of the only ones that can hold his head up high the way he's playing at the moment, even though he's playing out of position.
Wayne is coaching a coach as well as a team. So, yeah, he's obviously going to bring in a young coach and just coach him at the same time.
I've got one thing to finish with. It's an article I've just been sent through. I'm going to summarise it. An article by Nick Tedeschi. The coaching crosshairs. Brad Arthur's time at the Eels will finish in 2024. Make no mistake about that. His cards have been marked following the club's humiliating defeat in Darwin. Those who have deterred or defended him no longer will. While Arthur maintains plenty of goodwill within the club, his failure to bring any true success and apparent regression of his squad to point, they can concede eight tries in 25 minutes against the Dolphins. The Arthur years are coming to an end. The club, no doubt, has its eyes firmly set on Wayne Bennett, and Bennett would be interested, given the talent of the roster, but he would not in any way consider the club or Mark O'Neill or the head of football has any oversight over the coach of the roster. So you go. So if Wayne Bennett comes, he wants control of the team, which obviously you've got to respect enough to give it to him. Other potential candidates include assistant Trent Barrett, and Broncos assistant Lee Breers. Breers has been the brains behind Brisbane's rise and will be in the mix for head coaching jobs over the next few cycles. It's all over for Arthur, though, who'll be given the decency to finish out the year but won't be there in 2025. Now, if I'm Brad Arthur and the club says to me, you're done at the end of the year, I'm leaving straight away. I'm saying, pay me now and I'm going. It's as simple as that. Like, if I have the option to finish my job on, you know, well, look, it's going to be fucking early September, let's be honest. If I'm given the chance to finish my job September knowing I'm not coming back next year and I can get paid till September, I'm off trying to do what I can to try and find another job. I'm not concentrating.
He'll find another job.
He'll find another job. He'll go to England for sure. Like 100% he will.
Like, he'll go back to being assistant coach at Manly.
Manly, exactly right. So, look, that's the final article I'm going to finish with. It obviously shows where there's smoke, there's fire. Obviously, the Bennett rumours have come out and there's obviously stuff going on behind the scenes. He doesn't want O'Neill there. O'Neill needs to go. We all feel that. The final thing I'll say before we close off is keep the comments going, guys, on the Parramatta pages. Your voice, if you want O'Neill out, comment it. We're not telling you what to say, but if you feel this, do it. Arthur out, whatever you want. Keep the negative comments coming there. They're deleting shit left, right and centre. The social media team has been told to stop posting, okay, because all of a sudden there's very rarely a post up on the Facebook or the Instagram compared to what it was. So we've got to create a noise. Like, people are out there saying, let's protest, let's boycott, let's go have a march, all this shit. You don't need to in this day and age. Your biggest presence is obviously as Joel said, don't buy the merchandise. If you don't want to turn up the games, don't cut the games, but get your voice out there and be heard, okay? Put on the Parramatta stuff, not ours. That's all we've got time for.
Can I just say one thing about that as well? Those people making comments not make it personal attacks on people having an opinion as well? Because we have seen many different people having different opinions and people getting attacked as well. So everyone's entitled to their opinion. If you don't like it, just scroll on.
There's still people that want to tongue the club's ass big time.
Should we mention last week's game against, was it North Queensland, where it seemed like the club fudged the numbers of attendance?
Oh, we know that. Every club does it, though. They've been doing it all year. They did it for the Tigers and Bulldogs games as well. They always lie, but every club does it. So, anyway, look, like I said, keep an eye out for those two competitions, obviously, going up tomorrow. Get involved. Make sure you like the page. And we'll see you next week, hopefully, with some positive, maybe. Who knows?
When's Mitch back?
It'd be
about 7 weeks now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys.